Hi, and welcome to episode 3 of That Yoga Woman's podcast, a podcast where yogis, yoga teachers, and studio owners share stories of their lives on and off the mat. I'm Jules Buchanan, a yoga teacher and your host. This week, I'm talking to Alex Donovan. Swansea-born Osprey centre, Alex is a Welsh rugby international player and has 7 caps for her country. She earned her first cap playing in the Six Nations in 2018 at the huge Principality Stadium in Cardiff. She made her debut though for Wales a little bit earlier, and I didn't realise that not all games are capped. We'll come on to that later. She's a keen hockey and netball player until she suffered a massive injury, which meant her sporting days could well have truly have been over. It was then she discovered yoga, and that led to the creation of her business, Yogability. She says it's yoga without the zen, targeting those that don't like the idea of yoga but need it for improved mobility in sport. She focuses on strength and flexibility, and the exercise program relates to movements back to sport and fitness. Pre-pandemic, her Yogability classes were running at different gyms across Cardiff. She also offers monthly subscribers the option of accessing live online classes and videos. Alex's career connections mean that she's been able to establish relationships with rugby teams such as the Bristol Bears and other sports organisations like Welsh Rowing, as well as working with individual sportsmen and women to offer tailored Yogability sessions. Since then, she's also set up her own yoga studio, the Yoga Hub, and that's in the Central Bay of Cardiff, with the aim of offering affordable, high-care, high-quality yoga in the city. I went to visit Yoga Hub in the Bay shortly after it opened in March, and it's such a great space, really nice vibe. Suffice to say, she is really, really super busy, so I'm so glad and grateful that she's made some time for me. Okay, so hi, Alex. Welcome to That Yoga Woman's podcast.
Hi, thank you very much. How are you?
I'm fine, thanks. How have you been?
Yeah, not too bad. Ups and downs like everybody, but all good generally, I guess. Yeah,
I saw that you organised an outdoor cinema for your family recently. Yeah, completed like popcorn in the little stripy bags.
I know.
Where did you get that idea from?
Well, I'm not very creative, but I just saw something online and I was like, oh, I'm going to try it. And I got so much time. I was like, bought everything and they made it really big and then it started raining. So.
Oh, wait, did you watch a film or?
Yeah. We watched Pleasureville.
Oh, I've not heard of that.
It's an oldie film. It's nice. It's good.
Oh, so can you just clear up the stuff about caps for me? Because I don't know whether I was the only one, but I was under the pressure. If you play for your country, then you get a cap. Like, but that's not right.
No. So in test games, you do. So basically, when I started playing, I was in the Welsh squad. Our autumn weren't capped then. So even though we were representing Wales, they weren't capped, whereas the Six Nations are. And now our autumns are as well. Well, some of the games are, some aren't. So, yeah, it varies.
Why is that? Who decides then?
I don't even know how it works. But we just know that some of them are capped and some are uncapped. And I don't know. I'm sure there's a reason why. They call it a test match, but I'm not really sure. I should have Googled this before.
But it's not a difference between the men and the women's, is it?
Yeah. So the men's, they would get capped, I think, on all their internationals. I don't know. Maybe, yeah.
Oh, I won't even get started on that. So just tell me a bit about your amazing rugby career then. When did it all start?
So with the rugby, I played netball in school and hockey, so that was my main sport. And then I got badly injured playing netball, so I ruptured my Achilles. Oof. And I was out of sport for about 2 years. And in the 2 years, I just never went back to netball. I managed, initially they said I probably wouldn't be able to run again or get the power back in my left leg. But, you know, all the work and all the yoga and rehab and everything. And I managed to get back to running. And I decided, I always played, social rugby in school. Mm. So, and some of my friends still played. So I just joined a team with them. And yeah, I started playing. I played for Swansea. And one of my best friends in the team actually passed away in a car accident.
Oh dear.
So it was in her memorial game, really weirdly, that I got spotted by the Welsh coach. And then he pulled me into the squad.
Wow.
So yeah, it's really bizarre. It's really early into my rugby career, I guess, that I got selected to play. And then yeah, I got selected, I think, in the summer. And then I played the first game in the autumn internationals, which was against the armed forces.
Right.
And so my first game, and I got man of the match, which is cool.
Did they say
yeah.
man of the match or woman of the match?
Well, I say man of the match just because it's always been like that. But I think they say player now.
Yeah, that would make more sense, wouldn't it?
I don't know, yeah.
And your dad was into rugby. Well, not into rugby. He was a player as well, wasn't he?
Yeah, he was an international rugby player. So he always played touch rugby with the boys. And he always says to me, oh, so the memories and the friends you make, not necessarily the games. Yeah. So then I always remember that. And he's got such good friends still from rugby that I think that was another drive of why I wanted to play, because I could see what he did.
Mm.
And he still talks about it. And you can see that he just glows when he talks about it. And oh. I just wanted to experience that, which is cool.
Yeah, and you said you played at school. Is it a school sport then?
Yeah. So we were really lucky with our school. So we had, so basically what was offered to the boys was kind of offered to the girls, which was not necessarily the case everywhere when we were in school. And the boys would let us join in their games, and it was a really close school. And one of the coaches that was coaching the boys team, we said, oh, can you set up a girls team for us as well? And yeah, we used to train like after school twice a week, and we used to play tournaments, and we won like the Welsh championships and all that. We loved it. Yeah, yeah, it was cool. And we did, we were playing seven a side.
Yeah.
And yeah, it was really good. And I think because he gave us a really good opportunity just to play, and we just loved it. So it was a really good social for us all.
And so when did you think, blimey, I'm actually pretty good at this? I'm quite good. Was there a specific moment where you thought, oh, I could maybe take this further?
I think I was always really weirdly in my position. So my position is you try and create opportunities really for the outside players. So, and because I don't love getting tackled, I'd always try and go in between players. So go for the gaps, but that's what you kind of
love being tackled.
So that's what you kind of need to do anyway. And I think then I was like, oh, this is actually, it's quite, I don't know. I just really enjoy trying to avoid contact to get the ball to the outside players. And
yeah,
I can't remember, there wasn't one memory that I thought, when I had my first cap, I remember running onto the pitch thinking, how did I get here? Like, I was just playing, you know, I didn't take it seriously at all. And I was just playing with my friends, even in the Welsh, because I was just loving every moment. So I was really enjoying it with my friends. And then they said, Snowy's gone off with a head injury, you're on. And I was thinking, I did not prepare for, and I was, because I was on the bench, I was kind of a bit chilled, just thinking, oh, you know, probably won't get on. And then I got on and I was thinking, oh my god. And then it's all the almost like a fear and like the adrenaline and everything, and I was thinking, oh no. But it, yeah, because I remember after the game as well, they interviewed me after the game, and they said, how was it? I was like, oh, it was amazing, it was like dream come true, la la la, like really good, I loved it. And they were like, didn't you lose? I was like, yeah. I was like, it was fine. It was fine, though.
But yeah, so yeah, I suppose that adrenaline just kicks in. It's not like you're playing with your mates, though, with a big crowd. You must feel a bit more fear, like, oh, you don't want to make a mistake. Or
yeah, the crowds aren't massive. No. But they're still, because we played in the Principality on my first cap. So it was, and the crowd was big, probably the biggest we've had. So it was, it was good. But it's nice. It's nice that people are coming to watch, and especially when they bring their daughters or like, you know, kids that kind of want to play. And it's nice that you can give them that.
Mm. So when you said you were playing netball and hockey as well, so netball, hockey and rugby must have been a really kind of tough combination on the body.
Yeah. Yeah.
Was it a struggle or did you just take it in your stride, really?
No, I think it was, my parents are really, really sporty. So my mum still actually plays hockey for Wales, the Masters, yeah. So she, really sporty. My sisters are just like a great, great athlete. But So I think from a young age, we've always been really into sports. So even on holidays, like, it's almost, looking back, it's almost like a boot camp. Yeah. You go training every day and things, but it's just our norm. And I've always been really into sports. So I think because it's so enjoyable, I never thought it was hard work. But I guess now when you get a little bit older, you think, oh, actually, my body does hurt a bit. But it was, yeah, it's just really high intensity training. So it's going to take its toll. And especially with sport, the chances of you getting injured are really high. But you go in knowing that your chances of getting injured are high.
That must take some balls then, some guts to know that every time on the pitch it might be, you know, serious.
Yeah, I think you kind of can't think like that, because if you go in and you go into a tackle that's, and you, even that 10% of you is like, I don't really want to do this.
It's going to end in problems, isn't it?
Yeah, you're probably more likely to get injured. So you kind of, and to be honest, during a game, you forget it. You just think about, I need that ball. So you go and get that ball. You don't think, oh no, I have to do this.
Yeah, there's a rather big person carrying the ball. I've got to take it off them. So you got injured, not wanting you to relive it, but what happened?
It was such a non-event. I was playing the netball game and I think the ball went off court, so I either walked or did like a light jog to go and get the ball, and it felt like someone kicked me in the back of the leg. So I turned to see what happened, but it sounds like a gunshot, so it's like a pop. It's horrendous. And then so the Achilles came off the calf muscle, so it's like a high rupture. So that's why they couldn't operate it back on. So then that's why they say it depends how... So it's held together with scar tissue at the moment. So they say it depends how it grows back on how much you could do with it, because, you know, it can grow back like really thick but strong, so almost like stiff, or it can grow back and it's a little bit weaker, or they just don't know really. So, yeah, it was in a moon boot for ages, and then when I came out, it's almost like trying to learn to walk again. And it's just the fear, because of how intense the injury is, and through all the rehab, you know, when you have to start moving the leg or like changing your boot and everything, it almost goes through you a little bit, just because you know what you've done, and it's just a horrible injury. I think it's a lot to do with it. It's a mental game as well as a physical game to try and get back to running. Because you're almost like, oh, is it worth it? Because if I do it again, it's another 2 years, but then if you don't do the rehab, then you're never going to be back to playing or running. But I was really stiff in my left side, so that's when I got into yoga then, because they recommended yoga.
So who recommended yoga?
The surgeon, well, the consultant that was helping me with my Achilles.
Oh, that's good.
Yeah, it was good, because he said, you know, you need to work on the flexibility and mobility of the ankle and just your lower limb. So, like, if you're because I was really missing, you know, that team, or just going somewhere in the evening, because I had nothing to do, because all I knew was sport all my life.
Yeah. So, and running sport as well.
Yeah, I just didn't have anything to do. So he said, when you go to classes and, you know, try and even on balance, and I just had such an imbalance between my legs, and my right side was so much stronger than my left. So I started going to yoga, but I went to quite a few before I actually stuck to one, because I think you have to find one that you like.
Yeah.
Otherwise, it's just, you just don't want to be there.
No, and it's, you just feel uncomfortable, don't you? I think everyone's had that experience of being in a class where I wouldn't say regretted a class, but if the style's not your style, or you just think, oh, it's a bit cringy, you just want to.
Yeah, 100%. And you just, and I think you, and even with the instructor, you almost have to like the instructor, because they're such a big part of the class. I went to a couple of classes, and then at the start I was thinking, oh my God, I can't do this. And you know what it's like. But then I was like, there was, you know, 60-year-olds, 70-year-olds that were better than me at loads of things. And the competitive side then I was thinking, how are they better than me? You know, balancing.
Yeah, forward folding, you realise how short your hamstrings are. It's like, what's going on?
I know. So, I kept going back, and the benefit of it outweighed how much I enjoyed it anyway. So I enjoyed the physical side of it, and I never could really get into that mental side of it. Or now I can really appreciate it, but at the time I just had no interest. I just wanted to go back playing, so that's if it was physical, I was like, yes, this is helping me.
Yeah.
As soon as they, and I was like, I don't want to talk about feelings. I know how I feel. I'm annoyed. You know.
So, but Savasana was just, were you one of those people that just picked up the stuff and left?
Yeah, 100%. I'd be gone. Now you can't, you need to like drag me out of the room to take me. But yeah, at the start I was like, oh, I've got to go. And I know where to go, but I just didn't want to do it.
That's, and as a teacher, now that you're a teacher, when you see that, you just think, oh, yeah, come on. Like, it's 5 minutes.
I'm like, all we're asking you to do is close your eyes and lie down. This is the easiest thing to do. I was one of those.
So what was the driver to set up Yogability?
So when I started training again then, I was, you know, kind of something has to give. So I think I kind of pushed yoga to the side a little bit. And then, you know, trying to get, because the classes I was going to were about 90 minutes. It's quite a long time to, you know, if you have to train as well, it's trying to fit everything in. And then I was thinking, but when I was in the class, there's about 25 minutes of the class where I was like, this is amazing. I love this kind of thing. And I was thinking, oh, surely there's more people that would just want the physical side of yoga. Kind of like I was like when I started. So I used to Google, oh, yoga for athletes or yoga, you know, physical side of yoga. And there wasn't much that came up. And I was thinking, oh, maybe I can just create my own method and just do it myself. As in, you know, I was going to loads of classes. The moves are pretty similar. Like when you get to know yoga, they are similar. But I had the rehab kind of work as well, so the mobility side of it as well, that I would just interlink and make my own session. And then I just started posting on social media what I was doing at the time and all this, and then but I'm really bad as it, like if I'm doing anything, I want to know why I'm doing it, what is this meant to do, what am I meant to feel, blah blah blah. So I wanted to go on a yoga course. I wanted to go on a mobility and movement specialist course. Like when I got into CrossFit, I wanted to go on a CrossFit course, all of this. So I think, and I think you change as you go a lot, as you kind of grow as a teacher. So maybe the style I used to teach is different to what I teach now, because you try and target as many people as you can. I just decided to create a concept of yoga mixed with mobility work. So we're still using like a yoga style class of like the flows and the movement, so more for dynamic movement, but trying to keep it more physical, but more, so you're working on strength through range. So as much as we're working on flexibility, another thing I learned was you can actually be too flexible, which I never thought was a thing.
Yeah.
But I was like, oh, actually, if you're hypermobile, you can't be strong or powerful or, you know, the kind of what you need for running or for rugby. So I kind of make sure people try and emphasize how important strength work is as well. So the single leg strength work is massive in my class.
I've felt the burn of your classes.
I know, but it doesn't suit everybody. It suits, you know, some people that like it, which is great. Other people don't like it, which is fine. So it's just trying to give some people a different kind of option, I guess. And when I started the business, I always say I went full time really quickly, but full time was like £30 a week. You know, it wasn't, it's not like, you know, 9 to 5, you know, what self-employment's like. I just thought, oh, I'm going to give it a go. And I was a medical rep at the time. So I quit that job and then just set up my own business. And at this time, it was me traveling to loads of different places teaching. And then I started working with sport teams and things like that. So, yeah.
Just gone from strength to strength. It's interesting that you kind of quit your job and then set up the business.
Yeah. Well, I thought I knew I couldn't do the both, because some jobs I think you can do, you can work in the mornings, evenings, but I was just traveling loads. I was in Southampton a lot, so I couldn't, and my weeks looked different every week. So I didn't have the structure or the routine to be able to, okay, now I know I can commit, teach this class. Yeah. So, and to be honest, I'm not very good at, like, if I'm doing something, I do it 100%. I don't do half and half. So yeah. I'm like, I'm going to try it, because I could always go back into that industry if I wanted to.
Yeah.
So yeah, it worked out though, which is good.
So how did that lead you to set up the Yoga Hub?
So the Yoga Hub.
Just tell us a bit about what it is first. I've not said what it is.
Oh, right. So the Yoga Hub. So we've opened a studio in, well, we've opened two studios in Cardiff now. And the Yoga Hub, it's basically, it was designed really to suit everybody. What I wanted was kind of a hub in Cardiff that people could go to and experience all, like, loads of different types of yoga, loads of different types of Pilates. I always had a misconception of yoga when I started. And when I speak to people, they said, oh, I've already tried yoga. And I'm like, oh, cool. What type? And they said, oh, no, yoga. And I'm like, there is so many different types. There's so many different instructors. And I think sometimes when you see these chain kind of yoga studios, they're taught to say, teach the same kind of routine, whereas I didn't want that. I wanted the instructors to stay really creative. And another thing is, a lot of people that I work with, they already pay a gym membership, and they almost, yoga's not their first love, so asking them to pay £12-13 a class, they just wouldn't do it.
No.
So they were going like once a month, or and they said, oh, I don't really feel the benefits, because they don't go a lot. So I wanted it to be less than half the price of the going rate in Cardiff. So we charge £6 per class, and then £50 if they want unlimited. But unlimited is, I think it's about 32 classes a week. But then it's £60 if they want the two studios, so it's about 65 classes a week or something. So it's a lot. And but I want people to try it, because if you pay monthly, you'll look at the timetable and you think, oh, I may as well go because it's free. Even though you're paying, you think it's free. And I just really want people to try all the different types of yoga. We've got hot Pilates, hot yoga, you know, just, and loads of different instructors, and they're all really great. So that was the idea behind the hub. And the reason I wanted it, if you've seen pictures, it's a really dark room. So it's painted black.
Yeah.
And it's got lighting around it.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, and it's warm. The reason I wanted it dark was, because even the yoga studios, I always think, look really pretty in pictures when they're really light and white and everything. When you're doing yoga, it's really nice to kind of get lost in it. And it's so dark in the hub. You do kind of lose yourself in the flow and lose yourself in the class. Because I feel like that dark vibe really lets you switch off.
Yeah, I hear that. It was a really nice vibe in there. And because you felt it wasn't bright, it wasn't like too dark, and way that it's lit, the instructor's lit as well. So you don't feel like you're kind of, you don't see what's going on. It's like, you can see them quite clearly, but then like you say, you can get a bit lost, and you're focusing more on, you're in the zone.
Yeah. 100%. And someone said to me actually, because one of them is in an industrial estate in the gym. And she said, oh, when I walked in, she was thinking, oh, no, what have I come to? And then she walked in and she said, you feel like you're in a different place altogether, which is nice.
What was she expecting? Like, because, when you come in, it is a bit like, oh, there's people pumping iron, and you're a bit like, oh. But then, you go in and into the space, and it is just, totally different.
I know, and I think I always, the reason I wanted to open in the places we have is because they've got a gym and they've got a coffee shop, and I'm massively into the more of a social kind of, I want people to go, but I don't want them to go and leave. I want them to go and stay and have a coffee and meet your friends, come to a class, go for a coffee, or anything like that. I'm just really, I think it, when we're talking about mental health or something, I know yoga helps it, but I think spending time with your friends and having that kind of social part of your life is so important. So unless it has a coffee shop, I'm not gonna open there.
So is it,
everyone saying no, it's for you? I'm like, and it's for me.
Yeah, for you. Just take your own cup. So is the first one's near the Bay area, isn't it? And is the second one going to be in a similar kind of vibe with the dark? Are you going to do the same?
And so ideally then we're going to try and eventually we're going to try and franchise it. So we own the name, so we trademarked it, but So ideally, wherever you go in the world, if you went to a yoga hub, it would be the same.
Mm.
So it's the same kind of sign, same lighting, dark room, same bolsters, mats, you know, everything. The only thing that changes is where it is. So this one and the instructors. So we're lucky enough to have the same instructors in the two hubs in Cardiff. Yeah. Which is great because I could just give them more work.
Mm-hmm.
So this one's in Fairwater, so it's just past the Mission Way. So it's the other side of town, which is ideal because town gets really busy sometimes. So I don't mm-hmm. think we'll have a crossover in clients.
Yeah.
But if they wanted to have a membership in both, it's just £10 extra a month for the, which is great if they wanted to try as many classes as they can.
Yeah, try and mix it up a bit. So yeah. What challenges have you faced in setting everything up? I mean, it's happened pretty quickly. But...
Yeah, my stress levels. I've never been stressed before. So when I
started coming from someone who's played rugby internationally, I think that was quite stressful. But and when you had your horrible injury, but yeah, this, what kind of stress is it then?
It's just a weird stress because I think I'm good. If I'm stressed and I can do something about it, I'm good. As in, I'm like, well, I just need to do this, and I feel like I can mentally cope with it. But when I was stressed, Well, yeah, we did it so quick. I said to Jordan, let's open a yoga studio. And he said, okay, when? And I said, I think it was end of December. And I said, oh, let's just do end of Feb. And he was like, okay. And we had to redo all the room. And the guys that did it were amazing. But it was just little things like with the heaters. It was about 4 days before. And then the guys let us down with the heaters. So we had to find, and it was, there was so, on the open day, there was so many hot yoga classes. I was like, yeah. And people who love hot yoga, they love hot. They don't want it, you know, 20 degrees. No. So I was like, you don't understand. It has to be boiling. So we had, and they saved us massively. They came in and they were working basically through the night just to get the heaters in. Wow. But it was stress, but I couldn't do anything about it because I couldn't actually do anything. The instructors, everyone said it's going to be hard to manage staff.
Hmm.
But to be honest, I was really careful. At the start, it was obviously teething problems, but I was really careful. Like, I wanted to hire people that were just nice people. Like, they're just really nice girls. So it was just,
Did you put that on your advert?
Yeah.
Like,
you have to be nice. Yeah. But it just worked so well because I said, I want this to be the easiest place you've ever worked. Like, I want you to enjoy it. I don't, because I worked in studios, which I dread going to, or the management. I'm like, I'm trying to do a job them and they're just not very nice. So, and then I was thinking, oh, is it me? Is this just the yoga world? Is it this? Is that? And I was like, at the end of the day, it's a business. But I said, if they want to work for you, they're gonna work harder for you. They're gonna want to help, and they've been absolutely amazing. And even, you know, we opened during the pandemic, and they were still like, any help I can give you, let me know. They were so, and they made everything so easy. They weren't, you know, it's just. It was just really, really, I've got really good girls. And then as soon as we opened the second one, they said, right, these are the times I can do if this. And this is really helpful. So everything went pretty smooth. But yeah, it was just a couple of weeks before, you know, just little things I don't think about. So the open day, I was like, have you got a banner? I was like, no. Why do you need a banner? Or like, do I need a sign? And I'd sorted out the coffee and the cakes, but nothing else. Everyone's like, you need stuff that people can, you know, flyers or like things that you don't. But I would never think about things like this. So, and then one day I was thinking, oh, I've got a bit of a headache. I feel like a bit, you know, I just feel really weird. And they were like, this is called stress. I was like, is it? I was like, I don't know how I feel. I don't know how to get out of it.
I feel a bit like everything's closing in. And it's just a bit like, I don't know what this is. It was welcome.
Like, I know. And everyone's like, this is called stress. And yeah, it was fine. But that, I opened in the gym, and they're open 5:30 in the morning until 11 PM. But I was there all that time just to, but it was nice just I had people there all the time that I'm like, oh, can you give you advice on this? Jordan's my business partner. He's the business side of it. Just so he keeps me really sane because he's done this a million times before, you know?
Yeah.
So, it was, I don't know. I can't even remember why I was so stressed. And I think as well, we opened and it was the weekend of Storm Dennis.
Yeah.
And I was like, and then we had messages the night before saying, oh, like, I'm not going to come because the weather's meant to be really bad.
It's not outdoors, though.
I was like, no, I know. And I was like, no one's going to come. Literally no one is going to come. And I was like, messing with my friends, like, you're going to have to come. The people that hate yoga, I was like, you're coming to restorative yoga tomorrow at 2 o'clock. And because I was so stressed, I was thinking, what if no one turns up? And it was so, and I'd never done anything like this before. So I think it was just, you know, anxiety of it. But it turned out, it was so good. Mind you, Saturday night, I was so tired. It was my birthday as well on the Monday. So we went out on the Saturday night and I was so exhausted. But it was amazing, yeah.
And then, so I suppose when you go into your gyms where you were before, did many of those people come, or were they like, no, yeah, I'm just sticking with the gym?
Oh, no, they came, and which it was so nice. And I think you almost don't realise, because I always think, oh, they're chatting to me because they're in my class. And then you get to the point where you're like, oh, I think we're friends now, you know, so that weird transition from, you know, someone that just comes to your class. And it happens, and I'm quite chatty. So I think, yeah, I had so much support from other gyms, and even gyms I worked in, and I said, oh, look, I can't work in your gym anymore. They'd come, the owners would come. And it was so nice, because I was I felt like it was my wedding day.
Yeah, because you said you had like loads of help. You're always saying on your social media, like, you've had so much help from your friends from your family. Like, would you say it's been a team effort?
Oh, massively, yeah. Even just to keep me sane. And even when I'm having my breakdowns and I'm like, I can't do this. I'm just not going to do this anymore. They're like, you can't quit. It's the day before. Yeah. I'm like, yeah, I'm not doing it. But And even just to keep me laughing through it, I think that's the best thing.
Yeah.
Because they said, what the worst case scenario is you're going to go back to what you were doing last week. It doesn't matter. I'm like, oh, yeah, that's true.
It is nice to have that grounding, because you do, it must be really stressful. You want it to be a success. You don't really want to go back to what you were doing before.
Yeah. I think I was just looking for a more adult version, and I didn't, of myself, and I just couldn't find one. I was like, someone tell me what to do. And when all the decision making comes down to you, and I never had that before.
Yeah.
So I was, and they were like, oh, who should we ask about this? And I was like, I know it's me, but I have no idea what to say.
So did you just grab it by the horns and just be like, yeah, it's me? Or were you like, go and ask someone else?
Yeah, it was me, unless it's like an awkward conversation. Then I said, oh, it's Jordan. He's in the office. If it's something, because we've said, if we ever need to fire anyone, Jordan's going to do it.
Yeah, so you know, all the teachers know if it's like, if they've got a meeting with him, it's bad news.
Yeah. It's in his contract. He knows he's going to do that.
So, I mean, because you've played for a team, it looks like you've got a really strong local network of friends, not just your teammates who seem to be a big part of your life, but other local sports players, like across different disciplines. Like, I saw you were training with Danny Rowe. Like, is that because you share common values and you're from the same area? Like, how...
I can't even remember how I met now, but I'm friends with Becky James. Mm-hmm. So she's one of my closest friends. So I was bridesmaid for her last year. So, but I think we met at a couple of the rugby games, but you initially have that kind of, she was an Olympic athlete when I met her, it was a couple of years before she went to the Olympics, but she's a professional athlete. So you understand those values straight away. Mm. And then, so Danny and Becky are friends from cycling, and that's how I met Danny. But yeah, straight away. And I think you enjoy training together. So then we were training together before the wedding and everything like that. So yeah, you definitely have that same kind of, you know, when people share the same interests as you and everything like that, it's almost so easy to enjoy their company and enjoy conversations with them and things like that. So yeah, that's how I initially met them, but they're friends from, yeah, just for life now, I guess.
Yeah, it's like share the same mindset, share the same values.
Definitely.
And does that help you stay motivated? Does it help, like, do you lift each other up?
Well, yes. And we go the opposite way as well. So like, it's kind of, we're very much like, you got to choose life. So, you know, if we're, you know, training hard, we love training hard, but then when you get your days where you're like, I do not want to do this, then she's the first person that will come for a glass of wine with me as well. Right. She's not like, no, we're doing
this. No, we are going to do this.
So, yeah. she's great. So she, yeah, so it's a nice little balance. So, you know, you're human at the end of the day, aren't you? So
yeah, it's hard that, because you just, sometimes you want someone to give you a bit of a kick. Other days you just want your arm, an arm put around you.
Yeah, and I think you kind of, and you can kind of see where people are. If you, because you can kind of see if your friends do want to train, they just need that extra push. You can be like, come on, or we'll do a shorter session and then we'll go for food.
Yeah.
And they're like, yeah, okay, great.
So just going back to Yogability and the yoga hubs, how do you see those working together in the future? Do you think there'll become a point where you have to focus on one or the other, or do you see them kind of dovetailing and integrating? How's that going to work, do you think?
So I think they are going to integrate eventually. I'm once I set up a couple more hubs, I think I'm going to, I hopefully will be able to, so I'll still teach in them all, but I want to create a teacher training so that I'm not the only person that teaches Yogability, because mm-hmm. otherwise it's just on me. Basically, the more I work, the more people that can do it. And it'll be nice to have someone to teach it as well, like different locations and things like that. So I definitely think they'll still keep each other going. With the hub, it's really different because it's not, I'm not the brand, as in, I know I created it, but it's the girls that's the brand. It's the studio itself. It's loads of different kind of things. So it's nice that it would work if I was there or not. Whereas Yogability is me at the moment. So that's what I kind of want to change in that way as well. It's lovely, like, and it's kind of a really powerful thing that you're the only person that teaches this kind of style. But I do want to train people up. So I'm writing a curriculum at the moment to try and get that teacher training kind of thing.
Yeah.
So,
and is that, are you going to register that with like a yoga alliance or something like that, or are you going to go more down the sport kind of fitness route?
I'm thinking of more of the sport route, to be honest, because a lot of the S&Cs want to use it for rehab or active recovery and all of that. So don't know how it would work, but I was going to write the curriculum, see how it looks first, and then see what I could do with it, really. But I was thinking more down the sport route, just to give it that extra little bit of difference, I guess.
It's interesting, isn't it? Because you can see, I saw online now that someone, you could do a yoga course, like a yoga teacher course, for like £30 or something.
Oh, over really? 2 days.
Yeah, like some diploma or something. It's just like, oh, but yeah, I suppose it's interesting how where you're going to pitch it, because of the people that you want to target. It's not necessarily... Yeah.
No, and I mean, some people that are really into, you know, traditional yoga, they hate my style and they don't really like the idea behind it. So I don't even know if like Yoga Alliance or anything will actually accredit my course. So maybe I'll have to go down the sport route, I'm not sure.
But you do have to smash it. Like, you make it sound like it's...
Oh, it is yoga. It's just because I'm trying to target people that don't necessarily love yoga, then I've had to almost make it anti-yoga more than it is. Because it is yoga. It is you're doing yoga. It's just you think you're not, and that's why you've come to the class in the first place.
Yeah, exactly. Because I was expecting it to be a bit more boot campy, but it wasn't at all. It's like a normal...
No. Yeah, 100%. 100%. But people are funny.
So you posted earlier in the year, be the CEO your parents wanted you to marry, which I totally love that. So have you found that being a trailblazer for women's sport, is that kind of where that comes from?
Yeah, I think it was, I don't really notice. And then people are so nice on social media. So they message me sometimes. They're like, oh, you've really motivated me. You've really motivated my daughter to, and I was just kind of living my life, doing what I like doing. I've always been, my mum's really like a really strong woman, so she's always been, you know, do not think that you need to live for someone else. You live for you, and you can the world's your oyster kind of thing. You can do whatever you want to do. And I think once you start believing in that, you really feel so powerful, and you just and I think, whereas before, like I've said, with all the branding and all the businesses, I've thought, oh, that would be nice to go to a class like that, and it wasn't available. So I was like, well, I'm going to do it myself, and I feel like I can. I'm and I think you've got to back yourself. And then I think, so well, yeah, when people are like, oh, no, it'll be nice to marry rich, I'm like, it'll be nice if you're rich yourself.
Yeah,
you know. So it's just, and I think rugby's massively hard because you get so many sexist comments, and then you think, oh my God. And because I think I've been in this little bubble where everyone's really supportive and everyone's lovely and everyone's, you know, you're in the women's rugby world. So everyone that's in that world is really supportive. But then you take a step back and you think, actually, there's a lot of people that think, oh, you know, you shouldn't be playing or you shouldn't be doing this. And I think then you think, nah, actually, I'm gonna do it more now because you've said that we shouldn't be doing this. And I'm like, and that's why, yeah, I think it's really hard because you get your days where you think, you know, everyone's against you or you're not being supported, or, you know, if you look at the, you know, women's rugby versus male, you know, the men's game, it's really different. But you've got to kind of just focus on what you're doing, where you want to be, and then just go for it, really. My mum's massively helped that, though. She's really strong.
Oh, and you said that you, every time you go out running, you get shouted at and not in a good way.
Every time, because I don't go a lot, but it's only during lockdown, and we never go running because I run in rugby training. So yeah. It was just,
yeah, it's not
because
like you're out and about.
I'm not a runner. So, and then I thought, I mean, okay, well, you know, especially with that, when you can exercise once a day, I was thinking, all right, I'm going to have to get into running. So I'd go running, and it was boiling, so I'd be in a vest, and then people would just shout comments at you, and I've got muscly arms, like, because I need to be strong, I need to be powerful for rugby, and I'm on my hands all the time in yoga, so I am muscly, but they were just shouting comments, and they were like, oh, like, you know, she looks butch, she looks this. And I was like, and I've never felt, so I'm always really like confident, and I surround myself with people that, like you were saying, like Bex, or like, you know, in the CrossFit boxes, they train in, they're, you're almost celebrated if you try hard, and if you're, you know, you're trying to do a pull up or you're trying to do anything, and it's like, yes, do it. And if you look musclier because that's the way you're going to look if you're training this way, then fine, it doesn't really matter, it's not about what you look like. And then when I was running, I was thinking, and it's the first time I've been like, I wish I had a jumper to put on. I was thinking, why have I even let that person, or like that group of boys, or, you know, and it was happening a lot, why do I let them make me feel, and I felt so insecure, and I was thinking, but normally what I do is when I feel like that, I post it on social media, because I'm thinking, surely I'm not the only person that I've experienced this. And I had so many messages saying, oh, I've experienced that as well. And I think it does help when you know that, even if it was someone reading it and they've had that experience before, and they were like, oh, I'll tell it too then. And I was thinking more, it says a lot more about the people shouting it. But yeah, in that moment, you don't think that. You think, I just want to put a jumper on. I just want to go home. But yeah, it was just, yeah, I'm still running.
So pre-pandemic, I know things are a bit different now, but I saw that you usually would get up at 5 a.m. and then you go to bed super late, splitting your time between promoting Yogability, sorting out, like, even you said you were cleaning the yoga hub at some point, teaching your yoga classes and your own rugby training. Like, how do you literally fit all of that in?
I know, it was I don't even know what I'm running on. I feel like it could be coffee, it could be anything. I couldn't sleep in anyway because I had this, you know, I had so much to do. I had to, like, I teach at 6:30 anyway most mornings. So I'd get up at 5:30, go to UFIT. Sometimes I do a bit of work before my class. And then I teach my class, and I'd be teaching throughout the day. But I had, you know, yoga, have things to do. And then our rugby training isn't until the evening. So say we'd start at 4:00 and then we finish at 9:00, but then I knew I had to clean the studio before the next morning, so I'd go back to the studio, so then I'd be back about 11-ish. But it's kind of, I love the yoga hub, and I was so excited. It didn't actually feel like work, and it was just something I had to do, and I wanted to be at a certain standard, so I knew I just put the hard work in now. It is hard, don't get me wrong, with regards to trying to balance the yoga life and the rugby life. It's really difficult because they're just polar opposites, and I think sleep is so important for recovery, and I just didn't have time to sleep. So in the pandemic, I felt so fresh. I was like, this is what sleep feels like. And don't get me wrong, obviously you get the negative sides of that as well, because you you know, you've got nothing to do, so that's hard. But yeah, it was just I wanted to do it. So I think that's massive, that you want to make something successful, so you put in the work and you get up early. And I knew even if I slept till 8 one morning, I'd miss like 3 hours of potential work I could have done that will save me doing it, you know, tomorrow or the day after, or like rushing to do it. I think I needed more of a balance, and I'm sure, I think it was just that initial, you know, the couple of months before opening, I knew it was just going to be a lot harder than it will be eventually. And with the rugby, the girls, the commitment the girls put in, like no one will understand actually how hard it is.
Yeah.
Because it is, it's time consuming. You don't get anything as in financially if you, for it. Mm-hmm. But they turn up, you know, they've had a full day in work. I've been up since 5:30. Some of the girls, you know, they've got really hard jobs, and then basically their training starts and you have to give you 100%. It's really difficult. And especially the emotion of international sport as well is hard, but I mean, it's so short lived as well. So I think that's what you have to remember, and I try and really stay present, and I try and think one day I'm going to really miss this. Like, yeah. I'm going to miss this.
That's so interesting. I try and think,
even on the days that I'm driving to training and I think I'm falling asleep, I'm thinking one day I'm going to think, oh, I wish I was driving to training.
Yeah. Oh, that's such a good way of looking at things, like being in the moment, stopping and having a look around and being like, yes, actually, this is an awesome achievement.
Yeah, I know. And I'm like, I'm actually driving to Welsh training. That's mental.
Yeah, well, it's just like massive cat on the back territory. But did I read right, you were sometimes teaching between 25 and 35 sessions a week?
Yeah, I used to do loads. I'm just not very good at saying no, so I'm so horrendously bad at saying no. So, and it was great because it's a compliment, isn't it? People want you, and
yeah,
it's so tiring, our job, because it's really physical. And the way I teach, I don't teach people that know the moves anyway, so you have to demonstrate. Because even sometimes I'm like, right, we're gonna go into a downward dog, and I'm like, oh, come on, you must know, like, everyone knows what downward dog, but they're still like, well, I don't know whether they just don't do it until I do it, or, but anyway, so I was teaching so much, and I just, but the, I think the everywhere I used to work, I used to say, oh, like, I've got no time on a Wednesday evening, but I can do this, and they'd be like, yeah, great. Or, and even to the point where they'd say, oh, you know, have you got a Saturday morning free? And it was my only morning off. And then, but I'm like, well, yeah, I am free, even though I'm free because I want the day off, but I am free. So they'd be like, oh, great. So I was like, okay, well, and I'd even try and move stuff around, and I'd end up replacing them with other things anyway. So it was the travel time in between and everything, so it was, because I used to work in Swansea, Cardiff and Bristol, so it's a lot of travel as well. But it's intense. I don't work that as many classes anymore. That it's been really hard though to not work, but I think with the hub, I wanted people to come to the hub, so I was like, oh, by limiting where I am, hopefully more people will come.
Yeah. So has the enforced kind of slowdown of lockdown made you think about that as well a bit going forwards? Or was that already in your mind anyway?
Yeah, it was already in my mind. I knew it was something I had to do. I just kind of put it off. And everywhere I work, they're so nice. So I really don't like letting people down. During lockdown, it's definitely made me think, oh, you know, you need to slow down a bit. But then, so I arranged my timetable at the start of lockdown, and I was like, right, I'll have 2 mornings off a week, and then I'll do this, this, and this, and this looks really nice. And now I'm working every day at 6:30 again, because a couple of people were like, oh, can you keep the lives on? And I was like, yeah, I guess I could do those 2 mornings of lives. And I'm like, oh, no. But I mean, I'm just going to see how it goes. And I think you can make decisions now, which I hope I do keep, and but I've enjoyed it. I love working mornings anyway, because everyone's tired. But I think it's nice. I love having a morning coffee. So I love going to work, having a coffee, and then teaching my class, and then seeing people. So I really enjoy working mornings. What I've enjoyed is having evenings off. So try and maybe schedule it so I can have a couple more evenings off. But yes, it's difficult. And when I'm free then, I'm like, what do people do? Because I don't know what to do. So I just hang around. I'm like, I don't know.
What do people do? I love that.
Like, I know. Yeah, I know. When I'm free, I'm thinking, I don't know what to do with myself. So
what's next for you? Like, obviously, when I'm able to move out of my house, and not move out of my house, but like get out of the house and travel down to Wales, I'll be popping into the studio again. But what's your plans next? Obviously, then the second site's opening and...
Yeah, exciting. So just opening the two sites. We're going to do an open day on both separate, but I think obviously just depending on restrictions, if you can open before that for a limited number, we will open, but we won't do the open day. And then just going to keep plodding along, keep seeing what kind of thing I want to do. What I don't really know how, I've never owned a studio before, so I think it'll be quite a good learning kind of year with regards to what's working and what's not, you know, with a timetable and all that. And then with the rugby, it's World Cup next year, so I'm going to give it my best shot to maybe try and trial for the World Cup, see how that goes.
Fingers crossed. I love how you say, oh, just keep plodding along. Like, it's you're not a plodder. You're definitely not a plodder.
I know. Plodding along at high stress level.
Yeah. Basically. It's more of a canter or a gallop if we're going to like use the analogy. So if you were a yoga teacher or an international rugby player or a studio owner, what would you be?
I think I'd do something to do with the media. So when I was in university, I did a master's in media communication and public relations, and I think I would actually do really, it's so specific and it's not a fun job, well it may be fun, but I did like how Nike and Adidas represent females in their adverts, and I love commercials and things like that, so I think I would work something to do with like sport teams but commercials.
I think that's not going away. I think that's in the background somewhere. That's like a,
Yeah.
So
something like that.
We've got a load of quick fire questions for you now. I have, not we, it's just me. Uh-huh. So just don't overthink it. It's not, you know, I've done this twice now. You're episode 3. We've had a bit of a false start. The first one was like, oh, and just took ages. Just say what comes into your mind. Okay. Quick fire question. Okay. So biscuit or chocolate bar?
Chocolate bar.
Favorite color?
Blue.
Who's your hero?
My parents. Can I say both?
Yeah, you can say both. What's the best fruit or vegetable?
Banana.
A song or a dance?
I don't even think, I didn't know that, sorry.
No. You don't have to explain
I'm surprising myself with these answers.
Sorry, a song or a dance? What did you say? I missed it.
A song.
What's your star sign?
Pisces.
Who would play you in a film of your life?
My sister.
Beachside or poolside?
Beachside.
Do you eat eggs? And if so, how do you like them?
Yes, like a runny scrambled egg. Specific.
Okay. Yeah, it's like runny scrambled. Okay. Is there any product you couldn't live without?
Wet wipes.
Okay. Well, what is the top of your bucket list?
I think it would be to go to Bali. Huh. I don't know.
What's the most ridiculous outfit you've ever worn?
Ridiculous outfit. Last Christmas, my boyfriend and I had like this Christmas jumper, but you were like attached.
It's like a double jumper.
I loved it, and he hated it. But that's probably
where did you do the wrong go?
And you just had to like pull. Yeah, it was like a forced hug. Yeah.
What's your favorite place in the whole wide world?
Orlando, Florida.
What's the last show you binge watched?
What's it called? Is it The Money Heist?
Yeah.
The Money Heist.
Recommend it. I've not seen it.
Yeah, it was really good. Yeah, it was good.
And what's your favourite yoga pose?
Shavasana.
And lastly, just thinking about Shavasana sounds, what's your favourite music or sound for Shavasana? Or really, just have you got any advice or tracks that you can recommend that people should have a listen to?
So I think I'm a little bit different with regards to I like actual songs, so I like acoustic style, so like live lounge on Radio 1 when people do covers of different songs. At the moment, like, they've done a covers for Iris, and they what was the song? I'm gonna have to have a look for it. It was called I used it this morning. So the one I'm listening to at the moment is called Skin by Rag and Bone.
Right.
Or, you know, Skinny Living, Sleepwalking and things like that. So I like a song.
Okay.
And I like it. Normally it's like a deep voice that I like listening to. I don't know why. I'm learning so many things about myself doing this podcast, which is good.
It's no judgment either. It's just saying what it is. It's great. Well, thank you so much for talking to me, Alex. It's been an absolute pleasure to get to know you a bit.
And
listeners can contact Alex through your social media, right? So it's Alex, people that don't know, A-L-E-C-S on Instagram, Alex Donovan. Is it @AlexDonovan_1?
It's @Alex_Donovan1.
Yeah, I knew there was a one in there somewhere. So please tell her what you thought of the podcast. And if you've got any questions for her, that's the way to contact her. So if you're in Cardiff, check out a studio, of course, when you're able to and it's safe and you've reopened. And I'll probably see you soon.
Yes, hopefully. Thank you.
You've been listening to That Yoga Woman's podcast with me, Jules Buchanan. If you liked the show, please tell your friends about it, share it on social media and write a review. Subscribe as well to That Yoga Woman's podcast. Links and information can be found on the episode page in the podcast section of my website, www.thatyogawoman.com/podcast. If you'd like to show some support for this podcast, you can do that through PayPal. The donation link is www.paypal.me/thatyogawoman. The last thing I'm going to mention is my line of organic cotton yoga inspired tops. I've designed a small range of vests, tees and sweatshirts that are perfect to teach, do yoga in, or just simply lounge around in. They're really comfortable and they wash well too. So they're a really good investment. They're available to buy online, so check out my shop, www.thatyogawoman.com/shop, to have a look around my store and see what's available.